Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I am your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and as always, it is my pleasure and my delight to be with you. I want to thank you for tuning in to Issues Concerning Women. And if this is your first time visiting us, thank you so much. We look forward to spending the next 28 minutes with you. And if you're a longtime listener, thank you as well, because I couldn't do the show without you. Tonight, I have a special guest on my show, and her name is Lisa Anderson Kiersey. And if I said her name wrong, she's going to correct me when she comes on the line. But Lisa has been a longtime friend of mine. She's a woman of God. She's an excellent friend and a great mother and wife. So I want to get Lisa on the line so that you can meet her. Lisa, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
Great. And I am so excited to have you on the show tonight. Thank you for tuning in and coming on, and we're going to jump right into your story. But I also have another young lady on the line who's been assisting me, and she's an intern, so I want to bring her on for just a second so that we can speak to her, and her name is Miss Kiki. So I'm going to bring her on the line as well. Kiki, are you there? Can you hear me, Kiki?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm
yes,
fine.
I can hear you. Great.
How is everybody?
Everybody's good. And I want you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and your internship at Bryan & Stratton.
Okay. Well, my name is Kai Wilson, but everybody calls me Kiki because they mispronounce my name. But I'm at Bryan & Stratton College. I'm going to school for criminal justice, and my mission with my degree is to give back to my community. I want to open up group homes for less fortunate children that's in the system versus I want them to have a home experience instead of growing up in the system. That's my goal.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Kiki, for assisting me and helping me get the program together tonight. So I'm going to let you and I, we're going to talk to Lisa a little bit. So I may put you on mute if we get any feedback. So if you need to say anything, I'll come back to you in a few minutes, okay?
Okay.
Great. So, Lisa, I love your heading for your bio is Get Your Life Back. So can you tell our listening audience a little bit about you and what that means to you?
Well, a little bit about me is I am, as you said, a friend. I'm everything, a mom, grandmother. I'm also in ministry. And the reason why my motto is Get Your Life Back, because that is an area in my life that I had to go through to get my life back due to adversities, trials, and tribulations that stem mainly from domestic violence.
that not that you were in that situation, but great that you have moved forward from where you were to where you are right now. And so I know that going through a transition, it has to be really hard being that you're a mom and in the ministry. How has your ministry changed since you've gone through the transition?
My ministry has improved because of what I went through. It brought me closer to the Lord. And also I began to learn my ministry, what my purpose in life is more. And it also has me to focus on things, my spiritual side, more than the world. And so I think through the process, I've begun to grow, and I've also learned more about myself through the process, things that I did not even know existed in my own life, because I was so focused on everyone else but myself.
And, you know, as women, we tend to do that. We are caregivers, and we're the person that everybody comes to when they're having problems. So we are nurturers in a sense, and we are always trying to do for everyone else and not take care of ourselves, which is a problem because we usually are the ones that end up being taken for granted or feeling like we're taken for granted. And do you feel that way, Lisa, sometimes in the past? Feel that way?
And, you know, yes, I feel sometimes, you know, I do feel taken advantage of or taken for granted. But what I've learned to do is take control of my own life and my own actions, and that's why, you know, I always have the motto, get your life back, and especially with my text. That is like my little quote I have, and some people get offended because they think I'm telling them what to do with their lives, but it's not that. It's to encourage you. If you're not where you want to be or you're in the dumps or you don't have hope, it's to get your life back.
Absolutely. And what better way to do that than to have a motto that you go by every single day, because I know you, so I see it in your text and I see it in your information that you send out. So that's what you're living by day, which is how we should live anyway. You know?
Yes.
And so with each new day, we get an opportunity when we wake up in the morning, which is so awesome, to start the day over. And even if we didn't get it right yesterday and our life was a mess yesterday, what you're saying is we actually get another chance today to get it straight.
Yes, yes.
Okay, great. So I want to talk a little bit about the ministry, a little more about it anyway. And I know that your ministry is Crown of Life Ministries, and you started it in June of 2007. Now, your vision in the ministry was to make discipleship, and so in a nutshell, you wanted to do more than you were doing before. So how's your ministry going now, and how have things changed since you started in 2007?
Oh, a lot has changed. Well, in 2007, the Lord told me to birth the ministry, but I was not, as you can say, I was not, my self-esteem was low, I wasn't happy, and I didn't give it my all, because, you know, one of the visions that I have for the ministry is to receive your eternal reward when you're facing trials and tribulations through the word of God, so that you can receive your crown of life, because that's what it's all about. Even though we go through our trials and tribulations, we know that after all is said and done, we should receive our crown for our reward to be with God for eternity. And, you know, when I first started out my ministry, I basically did women's breakfasts and all. But, you know, now it has, like, expanded so sometimes I can't keep up. I'm now traveling, ministering to different ministries, birthing soaking sessions. And what that is, you know, you just lay before the Lord and using music or the word of God and just meditate and be there to just listen to the voice of God, because we don't exercise that in some of our ministries or even alone. Also, I'm working with the Richmond Police Department, with the community, with violence that's in our communities in the project areas of Richmond, Virginia. And I'm also in the prophetic realm as far as healing rooms, assisting different pastors and assistant pastors with healing room ministry. So we have grown tremendously, and God is not finished with us yet.
Great. That is awesome, Lisa. I'm so happy for you, and I am looking forward to seeing what God is going to do in your life in 2016. Yeah. So now that you've been traveling and you've gotten the opportunity to minister outside of our hometown here of Virginia, how has your outlook changed for 2016? So what do you see? Because you've already traveled. So what do you see for yourself in 2016?
Well, I know that God is speaking yesterday, today, evermore, but you have different regions that go through different things. Sometimes when I do travel, I do notice a need for warfare or deliverance more than at home. Or we sometimes when I visit different areas, there is no they know anything about meditation and soaking at all. And so it depends on the flow of God and what he wants. I do know that everybody has a heart for God, but sometimes it's difficult on how to get there because of the things they see that has happened in our churches. They're kind of confused. And so God has me, you know, traveling to hear the heartbeat of the people and minister the needs that they have in whatever realm they're in at that time.
That is absolutely wonderful. So we're going to change the subject a little bit and talk about you as a individual and your entrepreneurship. And I know that you are, let me tell y'all, she can whip some hair, y'all. Let me just go ahead and tell you. She was my beautician for years. So her background, her professional background is cosmetology. And I know that you're doing some new things in that arena. Do you want to share that with our audience?
Okay, I am currently working for Sava. It's a spa, and it's really like a, I call it a Walmart spa, because our job is to get you in and out. And that's a good thing, because I love working fast. But anyway, it's with eyebrows, waxing, threading eyebrows, eyelashes, and mind you, I've been in the industry for 25 years, managing and also instructing, and now I'm like, oh, my God, I'm doing lashes, so I'm used to the hair side of it, but now, you know, my career is branching out a little bit more, so that's a good thing. And also we do facials and things like that. So it's pretty much like a quick spa, so you can take care of your skin and your face mainly. We also offer leg waxing, ouch. We offer underarm waxing, ouch, chest, arms, legs, anything but the bikini area. And we have we are located nationwide. You can look us up online at sava.com, and you can find the area near you.
Okay, great. So where is your location in? Are you in Richmond? In the Richmond area?
My location is inside of the Walmart in Petersburg, Virginia, off South Park Mall area.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, and you do men too. Do men? You
yes,
have men clients? Okay.
Because,
yes, you know, we have to let men know, because, you know, and everything has changed, and we know that men are taking care of themselves as well, which is absolutely wonderful that they now want to, you know, get their, you know, pedicure and manicure and the, you know, I like a man that's groomed. You know that, Lisa. You know.
I know I do. I like a man that's groomed too. And you know,
so
some of the men they should not be groomed, but they should be groomed. And you know, some men, I'm not getting my eyebrows waxed or I'm not getting a manicure, and I'm like, what? That's the best thing. But some men feel that it's too feminine, but it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to relax you, and it'll allow you to open up your look a little bit. That's all, because we're in a society today that is about looks sometimes, and it's okay to be beautiful inside and out, or handsome.
Absolutely.
Inside and out.
Yes, for the men. Yeah. So this month is National Women's History Month, and
mm-hmm.
I want to share something with you ladies and gentlemen that are listening, and because I'm always, you know me, research queen. So I found that in 1783, New Jersey women voted under the terms of a state statute. Now, the statute was passed so that they had the right to vote. But despite the enormous contributions that women had in the Revolutionary War, it was still a problem when they actually tried to go out and vote. So nevertheless, there was an issue even back in 1783 with women voting and equal rights. So now that we fast forward, you know, I go to the past, but I always come back to the future. What do you think about women and the changes that you've seen? Because you are a military woman, you know, you had a career in the military and then you had your professional career. What have you seen that has changed, or what have you seen that has stayed the same as far as women and their equal rights?
Well, you know, I just feel that, you know, a lot has changed. I think that if there's a transition going on far as women in America, we're being more confident in who we are as far as our careers are concerned, as well as our status in our religious sector. We're also recognizing that it's okay to be more, I'm going to say, above the man as far as the career is concerned, but not in a bad way. We realize now that we are just as educated or equipped as the men, and we're willing to work with the men, but not against the men. Now, we do have some females that do that, but I'm going to say overall, our goal is to build the company, grow the company, make things work for the company. I also feel that we have also given our men a sense of how it is at home, because sometimes the roles are switched now, which is okay, and now the men are beginning to step up and be real dads, spending time with the children. So what we're doing is making it work together. As far as our education is concerned, I think women are learning more how to go above and beyond in their education sectors as well. So I think a lot has changed as far as our confidence level in today's world.
Great, and I agree with you 100%. And so we're going to bring Kiki back in. Let me make sure she's still with us. Kiki, you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, so I want to get your perspective on, and you're a little younger in a younger generation than Lisa and I, what are you seeing that has improved as far as women being equal and equal rights?
I think that it's more women doing jobs that normally we couldn't get at first, male-dominated jobs. And that goes for military and other kind of jobs that they said that we couldn't, that we wasn't strong enough to do, basically, that we're now, you know, a mother of three is working at a base or something on the shipyard and stuff like that. So I think we've come a long way.
Right, and I agree.
Years ago.
Absolutely. Because I know in my era, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom, so she did not go out into the workforce until much later. I probably was in junior high school. So she was at home every day when we came home from school. But today we do need the two-family income, so we have to be realistic about what's going on. And the mother goes out and works just like the father. And fathers are playing greater roles, and we have to applaud our men, and I really do salute them as well, those fathers who are stepping up to the plate and being able to go home and make her dinner or be home when the kids get home from school or pick the kids up. So it's great that we are changing and we're ever evolving, and we have come a long way, but we still have so far to go. I know our show is not about equal rights tonight, but I just picked that particular passage because we're in this season where we are thinking about elections and voting, you know, and we've seen what has been going on the news. So I wanted to be up on the current affairs. So since 1783, you know, and now to 2016, there still seems to be some kind of struggle in the voting area. So we're still not quite where we should be, but we're a lot farther than where we used to be. So I'm really excited about that. So I'm going to take a few second break, And we'll be right back with Issues Concerning Women. So hang on, ladies.
Okay.
Just tuning in, you're listening to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I'm your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and today I have my special guest, Lisa Anderson QC, and I have Miss Kiki from Bryant Stratton College. So if this is your first time tuning in to Issues Concerning Women, we are all about focusing on women and their families reaching their long and short-term goals. We're about assisting them in areas of business, career, housing, finance, and life skills. So, Lisa, I want you to talk a little bit more about your entrepreneurship and the things that you're excited about, because I know we, you know, kind of skimmed over, you know, what you're doing. But I know you've got things that you have planned and are working
yes,
on. So if you don't mind sharing a little bit of that, you know, we can't tell all the secrets tonight, but we're going to share a little bit.
Okay. I think that what it's exciting about my what my dream is and my vision as far as what I want to do, and I can share a little bit about it. I've always had a dream. I'm going to share two things. I always had a dream to open up my own cosmetology school, and I want it set up in an area that really needs to, like, I do community things in Richmond with the police department. And projects like you have Hillside Court and Fairfield Court, Mosby Court, Whipham Court area. And I'm looking for a location in that sector because we do have problems with transportation. You know how sometimes you can't help but to live in a low-income base, but my school would aid in helping them to get out of it because you have a lot of low-income people that are in low-income housing that can do some hair, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is we want to help them to have a career in that field and come out of that low-income housing area. Also, another dream I have is to open up a shelter. And this is a shelter like no other. This shelter would be for First Ladies only of churches. You know, with my testimony, I was in a domestic abusive relationship, but I didn't have nowhere to go because my husband was a pastor, and because of his status and he was well known, I was not able to escape. And even, you know, with the police department, even with, you know, different clergy and different organizations, they knew him, and so I didn't have a hiding place to go. And so that's what I want to create is a shelter for First Lady or pastors in the sector of domestic violence.
That is awesome. And I know that you are working diligently on your projects. And is there any way that we can help you as a community? Because we know that there are many pastors, wives, and elders and women that are going through abusive relationships, but they, again, don't have a place to share that where they feel safe, because you do have to feel safe once you've been in that situation. So is there anything that we can do as a community to help you to make your dream come to fruition?
Well, you know, the first thing I would like is to have a committee to see what is needed. And even if it is okay for these people to come forward, because again, you have to be careful with this, very careful with this, because it's supposed to be a situation where it is safe and secret. And if your husband is well-known, like, example, I watched a TV show where a woman was being abused and her husband was a police officer. And he was credited in the community with the judges and detectives and everyone. And she wound up dying because, you know, he wound up killing her because they didn't believe that her husband was abusive. So, you know, and I'm still praying about the angle to go with this, because when you're dealing with a situation like this, you are putting your life at risk. And you have to do that research to make sure that you are covered. So, yeah, we're still working on that. And as a community, we can come together and see what we can do, locations. But, again, it has to be a small group because we do not want the word to get out like, oh, we're located across the street, and that's when people know where the people are. So it has to be very discreet.
Absolutely. So I will be praying for you, and you know I'm here to help in any way that I can. I'm an advocate for women. That's why I do this program. So I'm always excited to hear about what you're doing, and I know that you worked so hard, and you have been a great friend and a godsend to me, and we talk offline all the time, so I'm pretty sure anybody listening that knows us know that we do talk, so we might as well just put it out, you know. So, so I'm just really excited for you. So we have about 4 minutes left, and I want, Lisa, first, I want you to be encouraging to any woman that's listening that's going through a domestic violence situation, if you can give her some insight or some suggestions on how she can get her life back.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'll add, you know, because we do have men on the line, and I am an advocate, and I work with the YWCA with this, and one of the things that we had to do in the past couple of years is consider men, because we do have women that are abusive to men, and we also have partners, and I use the word partners because we're finding out whether you have a male partner or a female partner. There are domestic situations in that as well. So my encouragement to you is if you've been in your relationship and you're noticing a change in that person, they're more controlling, or if they're hitting you, or if emotionally they're abusing you, then we really advise you to make a decision to come out of that relationship.
You want to be a mama? She's going to be a mama.
Because it is major to you and the people around you, also to your children. And so, you know, you have to make the choice to feel safe and be safe. I encourage you to call your local YWCA or, you know, the YMCA for the men. Get help so that that we can end this cycle to domestic violence. Know that you are somebody. Know that God loves you and you mean the world to him. And so you must dare to leave, because it is point in our lives where we have to take care of ourselves. You are valued and you are somebody.
That is wonderful, and thank you, Lisa, for that. And I want to also get Kiki to chime in for a moment to give a word of encouragement to some of our younger people who may be going through a situation and they need help. Can you give a suggestion or something that they can do to get out of that situation or to get their life back?
Okay, well, my mom always taught me that no matter what you go through, there's always somebody out there going through something worse, and never hold it in. Always tell somebody, because I went through some things when I was younger and I never told her until I got grown. And she was like, hey, I was wondering why you was such an outraged teen. I wanted to fight all the time. I wanted to argue with people, or cuss out grown folks. You know what I'm saying? I was very disrespectful. And she didn't understand why. And it was because I never told her about nothing that was going on with me when I was younger. And if I would have expressed that to my mother, maybe she could have helped me along the way, so I wouldn't have been so angry at the world, because I was very angry. But as I got older and the things I went through, it humbled me. It humbled me. And when I talked to my mom, and my mom is a very strong woman, and when we sat down and we talked about everything, I felt like a weight was released off my chest. Like, anything that's on your heart, you have to tell somebody. Because eventually it starts to eat at you and eat at you and eat at you, and you start to not believe in yourself, even though the things that's happening to you is not your fault. But you might think it's your fault because the person that's taking you through that is making you feel like it's your fault.
Right.
So that's my advice. Just always tell somebody.
because you can't go through it alone by yourself. It's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is, and that's great advice. All right, ladies. Well, show is coming to an end, so I want to thank you, Lisa, and I want to thank you, Kiki, for being with me tonight. You ladies were a plethora of information, and I'm pretty sure somebody listening took away something great tonight. So thank you so much, and we're going to end the show, and we look forward to hearing great things about your program, Lisa and Kiki. I will be talking to you soon. So take care,
okay,
ladies, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless.
Have a blessed
night. God
bless you,
too. Thank you. You, too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. You have been listening to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show with your host, Francine Allen Humphrey. We will be back next Thursday night at 6:30 p.m., so tell a friend about the show. Take care and God bless.